Let's pray together. Father God, we sing those words, and we want them to be true. And God, there's so many pieces that we choose to hold on to, that we cling to. But this morning, we declare it together. We surrender all to you. Even the stuff we don't know about, the stuff that's hidden even from us in our own hearts. We surrender it to you, God. Shed light on it. Burn it away. We want to be set free. We know that sin is slavery. Sin holds us back. Sin holds us fast. And God, we want to be set free. We want to be set free by you to live and walk in the power and fullness of your Spirit. And so this morning we surrender. Even the stuff we don't want to. We ask, God, that you would take it. That you would use us. That you would shape us and mold us into the image of Jesus. That we can bring the joy of your gospel to the people around us. So God, as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that these words would ring in our hearts, and that as we surrender, we would hear and receive what you have for us, that you would draw us closer and teach us a little more clearly who you are. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team, for leading us to that place this morning. Powerful words for us to sing together and declare these truths together. But as we turn to God's word this morning, let's open it together in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read this passage again that we've read a number of times this summer. The armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 10. We've got it on the screen for you as well if you need here. And Paul says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is the final piece of the armor that God has given to us. It is the weapon, the tool, the measure against which all else is held. And more than a book, it is the Word made flesh given to us. Do you know the Word? God is good, and He has given us everything we need for the journey set before us. Amen? Amen. Well, again, as we said, we're coming to the end of summer. And now, as hard as that is to say, and already the days are getting shorter, and our kids are going to be heading back to school this week, as we prayed for earlier, and life and routine will start to kind of return for lots of us, and in some ways busyness will return as well, though again, chatting with folks this summer wasn't really that restful. It's supposed to be, Because sports and schedules and all that is coming now, and it's only going to get more. And our ministries are going to be kicking off in a couple of weeks here. Kids and youth and women's and seniors, things are going to get rolling again around here. And so hopefully you've been able to have a good summer, maybe a restful one. Hopefully somewhere in there you got to have a little bit of a break, that you're able to find space and rest and enjoy God's creation. But as we head towards fall and all the things that are in store for us, it is good. Structure is good. School and life and all those things is good. Routine is good. Working and serving together is good. And as our ministries and our lives rev up again out of the summer season, it is good. Rest is good. We need breaks, but we are made to worship and be active, to care and serve and build the kingdom, to do the good works that God has prepared for us, to bring the hope of the gospel and the newness of life in Jesus into the lives of others and out into the world. And as a church, we get to do that together, to build one another up and to carry forward that mission into all the places that we go. It is good, and God is calling us forward. And so as we think about that and pray about that and prepare for that, this summer we've been looking at the armor of God, this passage in Ephesians where Paul describes for us the kinds of tools and equipment and protection that our loving Father has provided for us as we step out onto that very mission that He calls us to. Our God is a God of mission, of purpose, of calling and invitation. He reaches out into the world, calling people to Himself. And when we are called, we are sent. If we receive His gift of grace, we cannot but go and share it. To know love is to give love, and to be forgiven is to offer His forgiveness. It's a beautiful gift that He gives to us, this gift that gives. And to follow Jesus, we have to give what He has given to us. And so the incredible gift is that we get to try. We get to walk with Jesus, and we get to try to share what it is that He's given to us. And we get to do that together. Look at all the things that He has given to us. Look at the things that God has provided for you. He gave us the gospel and His word. He gave us the church, the body of believers, His Spirit. We get to walk and work and share together. We don't do this alone, even though sometimes wherever we are, we might be the only one in the room. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses praying for us, praying for each other, working together with Him. Our God is so good. He is so caring, and all that He has given to us, do we see that? Do we see what God has given to us? What He has done for you? Do we realize that we are walking in that every day as we're living it? God provides for us in such powerful ways: community, relationship, spirit, truth. He is everywhere and covering all things. He is with you and watching over you and wanting you to step into this life that He desires for you. More and more each day, a little more and a little more, a little deeper, and trusting a little more fully, and asking us as we sing about surrender to let our fingers loosen our grip on control just a little more and trust Him a little further. He's got you. He's enough. So often we're like a toddler in a swimming pool, and we've got the life jacket on and the arm floaties and the ring, and we're still just clinging to the edge. We won't let go, clinging to pieces that we think are a part of our identity, sin and selfishness, that if we let it go, who are we? What are we? Clinging to our own understanding and our ability, our own control. And God isn't even floating on the other side of the pool, far away, calling us to swim over to him. He's already holding your hand. And still we struggle to let go of the things that can't help us, can't save us. And he knows that. He knows the road is hard and we fear getting hurt. He knows we're not strong enough on our own, and so he gives us tools, equipment, armor to protect us and equip us and prepare us. And it's a little bit amusing because even as we picture these things in our minds, we still kind of, he doesn't give us this armor then to send us off racing out ahead into the darkness to fight the battle on our own. We picture getting this armor on and we run off and he's standing way in the back cheering us on. The call is still to follow. He's still ahead of us. He's still leading. It's his mission. His spirit doing the work from beginning to end. It's him. And we are with him. And he provides. Because he's still inviting us to act within that. In his wisdom, he invites us to be a part of it. And so he gives us the armor of God. These different pieces. The belt of truth. The truth of the gospel, of his grace, of Jesus. And his eternal, all-powerful, ever-present love and justice. His forgiveness and strength wrapped around our waist, tight and secure. He gives us the breastplate of righteousness, his righteousness bestowed upon us, not our efforts to be good, not our faltering strength of will, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ placed upon us and over us. He fits our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This inspiration we feel when we receive the good news, this hunger to go and share it with others. He hangs on our arm the shield of faith as the Spirit gives us confidence in him, full of hope and assurance. And the helmet of salvation, protecting our minds from the lies of our enemy in the world and the ones we tell ourselves that we're not enough, that we're a failure, that God couldn't love you, that we can't be saved. The helmet of salvation is the protection of the very blood of Jesus over our soul and our mind, that he has paid the price, and when he said it is finished, he meant it. That's what God has given to you. All of those pieces covering you and protecting you. Is that enough? There's a lot there. But there's one more piece, and it is a wonderful and powerful gift, as wonderful and powerful as any of the others. It too protects us from lies and protects us from fear and even from ourselves and our need to take God's place for him, to help him in ways he's not inviting us to help. It cuts through the things of this world and it brings light and clarity and truth into the darkest and deepest places. It is solid and strong, sharp and clean. And it sings with a purity of the purest steel, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the final piece that Paul describes for us. And it's the only piece that God provides that is used to attack. All the rest of the pieces of armor protect and defend. Belt, breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet, they protect our bodies. They defend against attack and harm. They help us to advance as we seek to bring the kingdom of God forward. But the sword of the Spirit is unique in this list. It cuts and attacks. It can also defend and deflect. But it's the only thing that is offensive in this list, the only thing that reaches out beyond ourselves to touch something else. The only thing that brings change or causes an outward action. And it's very interesting that this is the case because it reflects something very deep that Paul believes about our mission and the message that we are sent to bring into the world, about what it is that God desires to use to bring change, to build His kingdom, to transform lives. It is the tool that God has given us, the weapon He forged to reach out into the world. But what is it then? What is this word, this sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God? And it is, of course, the Scriptures. And this is something that should be familiar to us because we spent a whole year this last year looking at that idea. The Word was our theme for the whole year. What it is, what it does, what God has given to us in these pages. And Jesus, the living Word. And that's what this is here. That's what the sword of the Spirit is. The Scriptures given to us that speak to us of the truth of who God is and what He has done. Who we are and what He has created, the order and purpose of creation, the order and purpose of our lives, the nature and character of God, His actions and thoughts, His work and witness in the world, and the path of salvation prepared and laid out for us by His Son. The sword of the Spirit is the words of the Scriptures that are the foundation of our understanding of what is and what is meant to be. That sounds like a pretty big deal. It sounds like we should probably understand this thing. We should spend some time there. We should read it and have some idea what it says, what God says. It seems like it's pretty important to Him. Paul, writing to Timothy, says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And David says, all through the Psalms, but in Psalm 119, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to Your Word. The Scriptures speak life to us. They speak truth. They guide and direct. And they bring light into darkness. And it's because it's not just a flat book. Because Paul did not say that Scripture alone was the sword. He didn't say, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Scriptures, which are the Word of God. He said, the sword of the Spirit. This book isn't the point itself. God is. And it is to Him that these words point. It is Him that is revealed in these pages. We don't worship the words. We worship the One who gave them. And God didn't just give us a book. He gave us His Spirit and He gave us His Son. The Word made flesh who spoke these things to the authors and prophets who wrote this. And fills our hearts and draws us together as we read them. as we speak them, as we pray them. Hebrews chapter 1, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The words have power. Because Jesus is alive, the words have power. Because the Spirit is moving. The words have power because God has power. And he gave us this book to tell us just everything. To speak to us life. The word is more than writings on ancient scrolls. It is the living word of God spoken by his Spirit, made alive in us by that Spirit. Lived by Jesus, the living word. It divides human thought and nature. It cuts through our sin and the ideas and mistakes that we have. It reveals God's truth and purpose and will, and provides for us clear understanding of what he desires for us. It is from him, spoken by him, lived by him, and it is taught to us by his Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the work of the Spirit bringing these words to life. As Jesus promised us, John chapter 16, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He sent the Spirit to teach us, to reveal the truth of the Scriptures to us, bringing them to life, that we can know God and make him known. That is what God has given us. That is what all of this is. And so what do we do with it? What do we use this for? How do we use this thing? And it's simple. We share it. We speak these words to others. We read them. We study them. We memorize them. We fill our hearts and our minds with them. And then we speak them to others to help them see, to lead them to the Word, to the Scriptures that speak of Jesus, that they can meet him too. Read them too, know them too, know him too. We don't have to convince people with our own ability and skill and clever arguments. We don't have to go out into the world with the little stick of our best stories and funny jokes. We go with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is enough. God's word is enough. The Scriptures are enough. We don't need to be clever. We don't have to be smarter. We don't need to carry God's kingdom ourselves. We need his word, the power of his Scriptures, made alive by the Spirit in the blood of Jesus to speak the truth of God to the hearts of people. To let him work. What inspired King Josiah to repent and transform the entire nation of Israel around him, to overturn generations of sin and apostasy? He found the Scriptures. What did Nehemiah read when they finished rebuilding the walls of the city as God had walked with them through that incredible time? They read the Scriptures. What brought David comfort and was the light and delight of his life, even as he fled from Saul or from his own son for his very life? The Scriptures. What did even Jesus use to confront the lies and temptations of Satan himself in the desert? Three times he quoted Scripture. Scriptures have power because God has power. His words have power. What they say has power, and it is what we need, what the world needs to hear. And it was enough for Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "And so it was with me," he says, "brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Jesus is enough, and the word He has given us is enough. Paul's letters are filled with Scripture. As he was writing Scripture, God used Scripture to write Scripture. His word is enough. It is enough. And speaking His words brings power into the world. Speaking these words brings truth into the world in a spiritual way, in a tangible way, in a physical way. The words of Scripture break the bonds of lies. They break the pain of sin. They break the very chains of death and set people free. We need to know what this is. What God has given us here. We need to understand what it is and what it can do. It's not outdated. It's not outmoded. We need to know it and trust it and believe what it says and believe that it is what others need to know too. Because it all speaks of Jesus and what He has done for us. A couple of hundred years ago, a preacher named Edward Payson penned powerful words on what the Scriptures are, what the Bible truly means to us. And it's one of my favorite quotes of all time. I've read it dozens and dozens of times, and it just fills me with a weight of the power and significance of what we each get to hold in our hands here. So if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to hold it and consider these things as I read them. Consider what it is that God has given to us, what Jesus has spoken to us, what it is that He embodies, and what He has entrusted you with. He says this: "Destroy this volume as the enemies of human happiness have vainly endeavored to do. And you render us profoundly ignorant of our Creator, of the formation of the world which we inhabit, of the origin and progenitors of our race, of our future destination, and consign us through life to the dominion of fancy, doubt, and conjecture. Destroy this volume, and you deprive us of the Christian religion with all the animating consolations, hopes, and prospects which it affords, and leave us nothing but the choosing between the cheerless gloom of infidelity and the monstrous shadows of paganism. Destroy this volume and you unpeople heaven, bar forever its doors against the wretched posterity of Adam. Restore to the King of Terrors his fatal sting. Bury hope in the same grave that receives our bodies and consign all who have died before us to eternal sleep or endless misery, and allow us to expect nothing at death but a similar fate. In a word, destroy this volume, and you take from us at once everything which prevents existence becoming of all curses the greatest. You blot out the sun, dry up the ocean, and take away the atmosphere of the moral world, and degrade man to a situation from which he may look up with envy to that of the brutes that perish. Praise God for the gift of his wonderful word. Praise God for the gift of his Son who embodies this word, the living word made flesh, who spoke these things to us. Praise God for his word that speaks to us hope and life and truth, salvation, mission, purpose, eternity. For the gift of these scriptures that speak of our wonderful loving Father and his Son who saved us all. The Word of God transforms everything. It brings life and light and hope and truth, peace and joy and forgiveness and power. The scriptures are the words of God given to us to know him and make him known. And as we speak these words, we speak his truth into life, into the world, into the lives of the people that hear. God speaks when his word is spoken. These words have power. Power to change hearts and minds, power to transform and bring life because of what the Spirit is doing. If we will carry them out into the world, he will use it to transform people. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know the power of these words? Have you seen them work? Have you experienced it? Have you seen them move hearts? Do you study the Scriptures as though God himself had given them to you? Because he did. And he wants you to speak them to others. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And it is powerful indeed. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for Jesus, the living Word, who came to reveal your nature to us, your truth to us, your word to us. We thank you for the gift of the Scriptures, the word given to us by Jesus. We thank you for the power that they have because of who you are and what you have done, for the power of your Spirit bringing them to life. Father, forgive us when we ignore your word, when we dismiss your word, when we worry if it's the right thing to say, when we worry if it will offend or turn someone off. Help us to always speak your truth with grace and love, but help us to speak your truth, to bring your word into the world. Father, help us to fill our hearts and our minds. Give us a hunger for your word. That our thoughts would be your word and our words would be scripture. To one another, encouraging each other, building each other up, and to the people around us. In the places we work, in the places we live, in the places we play. Let us bring the power of your word into those places. The power of the Spirit. The presence of Jesus. Into those places. We thank you for the armor that you have given us. We thank you for the sword of the Spirit, which is your word given to us. Pray that you would help us use it. In Jesus' name, amen.